You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The floods have almost a scriptural imagery, whether it is in cinema or in literature. But when they arrive without that cinematic distance, that's in real time, to uproot real people, destroy their livelihoods, and then retreat, leaving behind a mountain of debris, a very tangible fear of epidemics, and a long and painful walk to recovery, you need perspective. And a very practical blueprint in order to rebuild what has been decimated and replenish what has been lost.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
How crowdsourcing is helping rebuild Kerala.
You're listening to Digging Deeper, a Money Control podcast. And today on this podcast, we survey the unique approach to rebuilding that the Kerala government is employing to deal with the shattering aftermath of the floods that devastated the state over a month ago. According to a recent Money Control report, the Kerala government has decided to take the crowdfunding route to rebuild the state in the aftermath of that deluge last month. According to this Money Control report, the rains and the subsequent floods, the worst in the last 100 years, have claimed 493 lives since the onset of the southwest monsoon on the 29th of May this year, and have also left a trail of destruction that saw 14 lakh people displaced from their homes, and hence a need for a radical approach to reconstruction. We quote from the Money Control report, "For construction of houses, providing means of livelihood and basic infrastructure, it has been decided to accept sponsorship after imposing certain conditions. The decision to go in for crowdfunding was taken at a cabinet meeting on the suggestion of KPMG, one of the largest professional service companies in the world, appointed as project consultant partner last month to rebuild the state." Unquote. The government has also decided to set up a body to facilitate the speedy implementation of various projects. But even before we explore this rather unconventional approach to rebuilding the state, let us first come to grips with the extent of the destruction. The Trail of Devastation. In a New Indian Express piece, author Rajesh Abraham describes the residual tragedy post the flood thus, and we quote, "Over 1 million people displaced, more than 3,000 relief camps opened, crops lost in 54,000 hectares, over 3 lakh farmers affected, as many as 221 bridges damaged. The flood-ravaged state has to embark on a massive reconstruction exercise, economic, social and political, to restore the status of God's own country." Unquote. And yes, there was also some almost biblical imagery, and we quote, "The torrent looked powerful and menacing as it rolled down the hillsides, tearing up trees, triggering landslides, splitting roads into two, ripping away bridges and knocking down flimsy houses and drowning all sorts of vehicles. And for those houses which withstood its force, the water entered all the rooms, swallowing TVs, refrigerators, sofas, furniture, beds, fans and in the end, human beings who had no place to run. Sometimes the water turned direction and entered new towns and submerged them. In Kerala's rice bowl, Kuttanad, the entire paddy cultivation was wiped out under an immovable sheet of water." Unquote. Of course, the writer also does mention stories of heroism of fishermen and ordinary citizens who opened their homes, hearts, temples and mosques to help the displaced. The debate over man and nature-made disasters can wait, as it always has, whenever any state in India, be it Uttarakhand or Assam, has suffered a calamity. The connection between the shutters of 33 dams across the state, the incessant rains and subsequent flooding has already been taken apart and will continue to be discussed and analysed. And at some point, as a nation, we will have to not just, in the context of Kerala, collectively address the issue of ecological balance as we manage natural resources and development. But for now, the immediate task is to begin the spade work for new beginnings. A tentative beginning towards that end was made when Onam Sadhyas were served at teeming relief camps sometime back. But there is a lot more that will need to be done to repair social, environmental and economic damage. And that mammoth task will have to be a collective responsibility. The NIE report states that 14,000 kilometers of Public Works Department roads and 82,000 kilometers of local roads were destroyed in these floods. Nearly 27,000 houses and 40,000 hectares of farmland were also affected, damaged or destroyed. Preliminary estimates of the losses have been pegged at 20,000 crore rupees and counting. The floods have also debilitated travel and tourism, created big dents in the overall economy and the agricultural economy, and it may take years before things can limp back to normal. As of the 27th of August, 721.45 crore rupees has been collected through the 721 crores that has been collected through the Chief Minister's Relief Fund and the Centre's assistance of 600 crore rupees seems paltry. In fact, the entire fiscal deficit of the state is as much as 20,000 crore rupees, like I'd mentioned earlier. Challenges ahead to rebuild Navakeralam or resurgent Kerala. As the New Indian Express report states, the challenge to rebuild the state will have to be taken up after the ground has been cleared of the debris left behind by receding waters. Debris that includes tons of e-waste like televisions, computers, mobile phones, refrigerators and air conditioners. To nip epidemics, there will be the urgent need to address issues of waste management, segregation and recycling, not to forget the danger of water contamination. A Money Control report says that steps are already being taken to clear the ground before rebuilding begins. According to a release, a decision has been taken to organize an intensive drive from the 24th of September to the 2nd of October as part of the continuing efforts to clean up the state after the flood ravage. We quote from this release, garbage piled up in houses, institutions and public places would be collected, segregated and recycled as part of waste management. Along with this, rivers, streams and public places would also be cleaned of garbage. Unquote. As we've seen in the past, this scale of clearing up and rebuilding is not possible without the help of citizens and NGOs such as Habitat for Humanity, which according to the NIE report has been associated with relief work in 38 disasters in India, including the ones in Uttarakhand and also the Chennai floods, and over 100 calamities across the world. The report also talks of the important role that Panchayats and the Kudumbashree network can play in the reconstruction. Kudumbashree is a woman empowerment and poverty eradication program framed and enforced by the State Poverty Eradication Mission, or the SPEM, of the Government of Kerala. The report recalls the efficiency of the disaster management model of Philippines, which deals with an average of 35 typhoons every year, and where the rehabilitation and reconstruction process is handled by the barangays or the rural wards. Once the ground has been cleared for reconstruction, comes the all-important matter of raising enough resources. The report outlines measures that have already been taken, such as the hike in the excise duty on liquor for 100 days, the introduction of special lottery called Ashwas, priced at 250 rupees per ticket, plus the possibility of future steps such as mining taxes from land and real estate, austerity drives, bonds dedicated to the rebuilding of road and public infrastructure, and so on. There are also plans to collect about 500 crore rupees from overseas investors. There have also been mentions of the possibility that there will be innovative public-private partnership modules that will be ideated and activated to raise money, and also invitations sent out to sponsors to take part actively in rebuilding. The silver lining may be that the rebuilding will create new jobs and possibly consumption trends, and also create a sturdier disaster management plan. What is needed, the article advocates, is setting up of special purpose teams headed by efficient administrators, a non-partisan approach towards problem solving, approaching global funding agencies, working from the bottom up, and so on. Crowdsourcing ideas. The thought that rebuilding can be an inclusive ideation process has come not a day too soon, and the Kerala government is turning to public across demographics to seek smart ideas for the future. We quote Sharanya Gopinathan of the News Minute portal. The government of Kerala has launched a pioneering new initiative that invites and enables public participation in the state planning process. On the 15th of September, the CMO tweeted about a new online platform called Idea Hunt, a portal through which citizens can send in their smart ideas and suggestions to the government for consideration. Idea Hunt is an initiative by the Kerala State Planning Board as part of an existing program, Plan Space, where the public can monitor the progress and expenditure of the government on various projects, and is meant for effective collaboration and to invite practical ideas and suggestions from all walks of life. Unquote. Sharanya writes that this is the first such initiative by the government of Kerala and could be of particular use in the post-flood rebuilding efforts. And how can citizens send their idea to Idea Hunt? The News Minute article says respondents are required to log into the portal and provide basic details like their phone numbers and email IDs. Respondents who wish to use the platform need to log in with their details, after which they can submit their suggestions to the concerned sector and subsector in about 250 words. The report cites Joy NR, Chief of Industry and Infrastructure at the Kerala State Planning Board, and he has shared that in just the few days since the launch of the portal, they've received over 500 ideas from respondents all over the world. He says, and we quote, "Each area has concerned officers who will look into it and come up with implantable or positive ideas which can be taken up by the departments or agencies. The ideas may be good, but from a government perspective, we need to see at what level we can do it and come up with appropriate schemes after sufficient research and discussion," unquote. News Minute also quotes Dhanu Raj, chairman of the Center for Public Policy Research in Kochi, who says, and we quote, "Initiatives like this are a part of a broader movement and transformation that we're seeing worldwide thanks to the advent of social media. Such initiatives are a turn away from representative democracy and a move towards participatory democracy where individuals interact directly with the government," unquote. Not to say that opening the door to such suggestions doesn't have its drawbacks. We quote Dhanu in the News Minute again. "Since it is the government in power that will sort through the ideas that are implemented could be coloured by the politics of the party in power. There's also less transparency. Of course, the ideas need to be kept private and the government can't share them publicly as they could be million or billion dollar ideas. But instead of relying on the whims of the government to implement your idea, the government should actually look at creating a more meaningful and healthy startup culture and environment for people to try out their ideas in the market," unquote. But we do agree with the article that apart, or rather in addition to financial support, communitarian and interpersonal ties are crucial for bringing the state back on its feet. Still, without substantial financial support, the rebuilding process cannot check all of the boxes it needs to. Now, in addition to creating that idea bank, Kerala Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan has announced a salary challenge. The appeal is to Keralites all over the world to donate a month's salary for rebuilding the state. Miles to go. A Hindu Business Line report discusses the important role that social capital can play in Kerala's recovery efforts. We quote writers Thomas Sajan and Titto Idikula. "Contrary to general perception, economic resources and government assistance are not the sole drivers of recovery and rebuilding after a major disaster. Recent research has demonstrated that social capital, that is interpersonal relations, social networks, shared sense of identity and trust within a society, these could serve as the core engine for a swift and robust recovery from disasters," unquote. The writers further quote from the book Building Resilience, Social Capital in Post-Disaster Recovery, "Survivors with strong social networks experience faster recoveries and have access to needed information, tools and assistance. Communities and neighborhoods with little social capital may find themselves unable to keep up with their counterparts with these deep networks," unquote. The article cites case studies based on the earthquakes in Japan, the Indian Ocean tsunami, and Hurricane Katrina to establish this point and says, and we quote, "The flooding crisis in Kerala witnessed a number of defining moments that were not observed in the past. Various social groups came to unite themselves for combating the disaster. The heroic role played by the fisherfolk in saving the thousands trapped in floodwaters is perhaps the best example. During the rescue and relief operations, Keralites displayed a high level of intra and inter-community trust and networking. The tech-savvy coordinated the rescue works through social media platforms, sitting in various parts of the globe, saving thousands of lives and mitigating the suffering of many others," unquote. The point being that in the times that we are living in today, rescue operations need not be totally linked to centralized support and can use communication technologies and be more people-driven and coordinated. The piece also astutely observes that the collective consciousness and shared sense of identity created during a disaster needs to be taken into the rebuilding phase and further. Far-flung areas with limited social interactions will, however, prove to be a challenge because a one-size-fits-all approach cannot rebuild a diverse state. Yet, reminds the article poignantly that it was the fishermen, along with other backward castes and Adivasis, who came through in the worst of times for everybody else, despite in a way remaining outside the wider embrace of development and social connectivity. Says the article, and we quote, "The fishing communities, to a great extent, are assigned only a lower status within the three major religious groupings in Kerala. No wonder when Cyclone Oki devastated fishing villages last year, mainstream Keralites showed only half-hearted engagement in reconstructing the cyclone-ravaged areas. It remains a fact that the Oki survivors are still at a definite disadvantage in terms of rebuilding their livelihoods." Unquote. This is as good a time as any to approach the disaster in a way that all social classes benefit. And the article quotes Shaji Varki, the Dean of Social Sciences, University of Kerala, as saying, "Fostering social capital is of huge importance to overcome the current crisis and to build community resilience." Unquote. Future forward. Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan continues in the meanwhile to send appeals for help and recently addressed American Malayalis to join the Global Salary Challenge to raise funds for rebuilding the state. He was addressing the meeting of representatives of U.S. Malayali associations in New York's Rockland County while undergoing a 17-day treatment in Mayo Clinic in the U.S. He said, and we quote various news agencies, "We have to raise mega funds for rebuilding Kerala, and central assistance will not be sufficient for completing the process. We have introduced the salary challenge in the state and our people have responded generously. Even school children donated their small savings for the cause. I'm addressing the richest and affluent people of Kerala living in the US. I appeal to you all to join our global salary challenge and donate generously towards the Chief Minister's Disaster Relief Fund." Unquote. He also requested US Malayalis for investments in the home state. Writer C. Pramod Kumar, in a recent Indian Express piece, however, says that the time has come for the Kerala government to do more, especially a formal damage and loss assessment, or DALA, as well as a post-disaster needs assessment, or PDNA, and make these public. Without an idea of the resource requirement, how does one even chalk out a plan of reconstruction, asks the writer. The piece suggests that the state could get more than just a good loan from World Bank because it takes the lead in doing DALA and PDNA in most parts of the world and also hosts the Global Facility for Disaster Reduction and Recovery, or the GFDRR. We quote, "They have the experience and tools to do the assessment sector-wise quite quickly. According to media reports, their teams were in the field doing this, but the government is yet to come up with a figure. Ideally, the government should have had a figure by now and strategized on how to raise that kind of resources. The government should have had a clear idea of what it costs to rebuild, that too with climate or disaster resilience, so that such widespread destruction doesn't happen in the future, and create a modular approach with a menu of options." Unquote. At the moment, says the piece, international and national NGOs have fanned out to different parts of the state. But what is needed is a cohesive, coordinated and optimizing effort. And only then will the crowdfunding model that the state envisages work, opines the piece, adding, "Aid cooperation should indeed be centralized even while decentralizing the implementation." Unquote. So where will the big money come from? The article asks the key question, how will the government raise all the money needed? We quote, "The government will at best be able to raise less than half the resources, that too if everything goes well. The 3,000 crore loan from the World Bank, another 3,800 crores from the salary challenge, in which government employees have been asked to contribute a month's salary, and another 2,000 crores from the Chief Minister's Relief Fund. All this and sundry contributions will add up to about 9 to 10,000 crore rupees. It's still not clear how much the government of India will put in." Unquote. The Kerala government is supposedly looking for other multilateral sources for borrowing, but will have a problem because of its high level of existing debt. The piece explains, "So the bulk of the way forward is internal accruals, people and organizations contributing over a longer period of time, for which the state requires its facts and figures, reconstruction policy and plan, and the coordination mechanism ready, transparent and public. It's already late because an essential principle in building back better, the new climate resilient mantra in post-disaster reconstruction, is building back faster. Delays in reconstruction will push people into irreversible conditions of deprivation." Unquote. Whatever the worst case scenario may be, we can certainly hope that state and social initiatives and the spirit of unity and collaboration that pulled the state through the floods will also help pull off the reconstruction and help begin a new chapter of resurgence.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.